This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 9 and 10, covering Wisdom's House, Lady Folly, Memory of the Righteous, Love Covers All Offenses, and The Path to Life. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. More often than not, it seems to me at least, Jesus' parables are strange. The kingdom of heaven is like a little tiny seed. It's like a vineyard owner who has no regard for the safety of his servants or even his son. It's like a farmer who is so incredibly irresponsible, wastefully sowing good seed on bad soil. Again and again, Jesus compares the ways of God to the ways of the world, except it's not really exactly the way the world is. It's always just a little bit different. It's almost as if Jesus is taking things that we know and using them to help us understand the ways of God that we don't know. And so it's pretty common when Jesus speaks a parable, these strange little stories, for there to be silence afterwards. The crickets can hear crickets sometimes. And I imagine the disciples and the others looking around at each other every once in a while and saying, "Am I the only one who didn't get this?" Which is all to say, I appreciate Luke. In today's parable, Luke gives us a little bit of a heads up. Before he reports what Jesus said in that little story about the widow and the unrighteous judge, he tells us exactly what Jesus was trying to do. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That they would not lose heart. It's reasonable to ask, why would Jesus be concerned about the apostles, the disciples, losing heart here in Luke 18? Well, that answer is not very difficult to find if you read Luke 17. Because in Luke 17, Jesus says some things that any follower of Jesus might just hear and wind up losing heart. He said things like this in verse 20 of chapter 17. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Says in verse 22, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And then in verse 33, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. And he who loses his life will find it. Times are coming, Jesus said, when things are going to get rough. You're not going to be able to see the kingdom of God. You're going to long for days like these. You will lose your life. And when that happens, Jesus knows in advance they're going to be tempted to lose heart. On Sunday morning of this week, during communion, we sang LSB 739. Do you know which one that is? 739. It's Precious Lord, Take My Hand. It's not actually my favorite hymn. It's a little bit schmaltzy, a little bit too individualistic, a me and Jesus kind of hymn. It doesn't really say anything, well, it doesn't say anything about Jesus' return and the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. And so I don't really love that hymn. But Sunday night, as my wife and I were winding down the day and we're getting ready for bed, she kind of said out of the blue, she said, "You sure enjoyed singing that hymn this morning." And I knew which hymn she was talking about. And I guess I did. You see, she knew I kind of enjoyed it because the way I express my excitement as a Stoic Lutheran is I don't ever raise my hands when I get excited in worship. That's not my piety. And I don't tend to bow very much. That's not my piety either. When I get excited in worship, I just sing really loud. I just let it rip. And apparently, during this first communion hymn on Sunday, I was letting it rip. Precious Lord, Take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Do you ever grow weary? Are you tired? Are you weak? Are you worn? These students wear me out. They just don't get it. They show up and they think they already know everything. Why did they even bother coming to seminary? They wear me out. These professors, they don't get it. They think they know everything. They don't know how much I've experienced. They don't know much how much I've learned. They wear me out. My husband, some of you may be thinking, my husband, he just doesn't get it. He leaves everything at home to me while he goes and gets to study theology that I would love to study. And these kids, must they eat every day? There's not enough time, there's not enough money, there's not enough energy. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn, I am tempted to lose heart. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You know, like many of his parables, this one was kind of a strange one. Jesus compares his heavenly Father to this self-serving, unrighteous, godless shyster of a judge. What a strange comparison. Of all the people God could have chosen, or Jesus could have chosen, to compare his heavenly Father to, this unrighteous judge. Now, the point Jesus makes is pretty obvious. If this good-for-nothing judge will do right by this widow eventually, how much more will our heavenly Father, who is righteous, how much more will he do right by his chosen ones? And it's true. How much more? God is righteous. He's even better than righteous. He's gracious, and he will do right by his chosen ones. But sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we wonder if God actually will do right. We see the unrighteous get ahead by all manner of injustice. And we don't just see it out there. We also see it even in the church. As we, as Christians, adopt the ways of the world and smear and sully and soil one another's reputations just to prop ourselves up a little bit. And sometimes you find yourself wondering, or maybe it's just me, sometimes you find yourself wondering, will God actually do right by his chosen ones? If you ever wonder that, if you ever question whether or not God will do right, then I suggest you take a very close look at what he did with his chosen one. That's how God described Jesus in Luke chapter 9 at the Transfiguration. He said, "This is my son, my chosen one." And how did it go for the chosen one? He came to his people and they did not accept him. They refused his calls to repent. They rejected his calls to return to the Lord. And instead of receiving the Messiah, they crucified the Son of God. So much for justice. But then God raised him from the dead. Then justice, then vindication, then God does right by his chosen one, and in his chosen one, he has chosen you. That's why we don't lose heart. That's why we always pray. Not because by our prayers we can twist God's arm into finally doing what we want him to do for us. That's what unrighteous judges do. But no, we have a Heavenly Father, a judge, who has made promises to us. Promises that encourage us, that don't let us lose heart. He has promised that he will raise you from the dead. He has promised that he will deliver you from this valley of tears, that finally, one day, you will get some relief, that he will forgive your sins, that he has forgiven your sins, that he will return and he will make all things new. In Christ, his chosen one, he has called you his beloved son and his precious daughter. And he has invited you and he has invited me to pray. Always. Not as an obligation, not as dread, not out of fear, but as a dear father invites his dear children to come talk to him. God has invited you to pray always. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you become discouraged, when you are tired, when you are weary, when you are worn, go to your Heavenly Father in prayer. He will, on that day, do right for you, even more right than you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Mindful that God has commanded us to pray and has promised to hear us, let us bring our requests and thanksgivings to Him in the confidence that He will grant our every desire according to His good and gracious will. Almighty God, our merciful and great High Priest, protect and guide your holy Christian Church here on earth, that through the faithful proclamation of Christ crucified, many may come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Ruler of the nations, grant peace to our troubled world. Thwart the schemes of those who promote lawlessness and violence, and sustain the countless number who suffer at the hands of the wicked. Grant us good and faithful rulers who seek to establish peace and promote the well-being of us all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over and bless those in our communities, O Lord, who give of their time to improve the lot of others. Give them compassionate hearts to assist those who are less fortunate, that all those in need may know the support of their communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all grace, according to your good pleasure, watch over us in our time of need. Grant healing to those whose bodies have become frail due to disease or illness. Comfort the dying, console those who mourn, and teach us to turn to you daily in the confidence that you will sustain us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us, Lord God, a living faith that joyfully receives the life here offered in the holy body and blood of your beloved Son, that with thankful hearts we may rejoice in the life that you bestow upon us. Lord, in your mercy,
into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and on all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.